You don't want to hear me, you want to hear him, so we're going to introduce him.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here. Will you hold my phone? I didn't even have a chance to get it out of my pocket. Well, I'm so honored to be here. I just came in from Australia last night at about 1 o'clock, and we had an amazing conference over there with Phil Pringle and C3 people, and here I am at the greatest church in New Zealand right now, greatest conference in the world right now. Come on, say amen. And I'm so honored, particularly to be with this group. I am a musician. I started in music. I played the drums. My dad needed a drummer, and he bought a set of drums, and he said, learn how. And so I started on the drums, and then he needed a keyboard player because the piano player got mad and left the church. And he said, learn how to play the piano, and I did, and I became his musician, and then I picked up the sax, and I won a full scholarship in college on the sax. I play jazz. That was my passion. That's what I thought I would do with my life, is I wanted to be a jazz musician and play in clubs and play in concerts. And I do. It's just church, you know. That we got the same lights and smoke and everything, so it's all good. But I do love and appreciate all of you and your ministry. And how many of you are in worship or music or some form of worship? Could I see your hand? And the rest of you are in the wrong tent, but it'll be all right. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to open them with me for just a few moments. I want to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4. And I want to give you a little teaching today. This is going to be really simple, but I think it'll help you as you lead others. In Revelation chapter 4, and I'll begin reading with verse 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4. If you've got it, say yes. Let me go down. Let's go to verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne, around the throne, there were four living creatures. Everybody say living creatures.
Living creatures.
Full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion. And the second living creature was like a calf, or the original says an ox. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is and who is to come. And I'll stop reading there, but it says that they fall down and they throw their crowns. I want to talk to you about the four faces of worship. The four faces of worship. Last week, something happened in America that caught my attention. America and Great Britain, and I think it was France, decided to launch an attack on Syria because of them using their leader using chemical weapons on their own people. And what caught my attention was that the missiles that were being shot at these chemical factories that were killing innocent people were launched from warships. These missiles would come out of ships that were out in the ocean, and they're called warships, and they would hit their target with tremendous accuracy. And the thought hit me, we launch our physical attacks from warships, but you and I fight our spiritual battles with an invisible enemy, not from warships, but with worship.
Yeah.
Praise is the address of God. Praise is where God lives. In the Japanese Bible, it talks about when we say our God inhabits the praises of His people, the word inhabit there is He is enthroned upon our praise. In the Oriental Bible, it talks about, because they have the Oriental culture of emperors who they would carry on thrones on their shoulders. And the translation is, when you praise God, you create a throne and God comes down and sits in it. Praise is the address of God. In the book of Acts, Paul goes and he says to the people in Athens, you're worshiping an unknown God. You're worshiping a statue, and they called it the unknown God. And he makes this statement with this wording, you worship him ignorantly. So there's such a thing, according to the Bible, as ignorant worship. Every one of you who lead in worship, you need to make sure your congregation, this is not like a put-down kind of ignorant, it's just an uninformed. You need to make sure that your church has more than emotion. They need the education of worship. If you want more emotion of worship, give them the education of worship. God doesn't want ignorant worship. He wants us to know the what of worship, the who of worship, the how to worship. And we don't worship God ignorantly. Psalms 49 said, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people. Psalms 149 in verse 3 said, praise him in the dance. And then it goes on to say, for God takes pleasure in his saints when they praise him. Psalms 150 said, let the saints be joyful with the high praises of God in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And it said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I mean, cuss word breath can praise the Lord. Any kind of breath. If you're breathing, even if you're not living, God says, I put no restrictions on praise. Any breath, anything that's living ought to be praising me. Praise is mentioned 246 times in the Bible. Worship is mentioned 109 times in the Bible. For a total of 355 times, the word praise or worship is mentioned 355 times. And that's how many days are on the Jewish calendar. Surrounded around the throne of God is an angelic host created to worship him. God said, I've got all of these created beings that are worshiping me, but I'm going to create man and put him on earth, and I'm going to let man choose whether he desires to worship me or not. He doesn't have to. He has to choose to do it. I'm going to let man choose wrongly so I can enjoy the blessing of some who choose wisely. Some won't choose to, but those who do. See, I have this sneaky suspicion that when Lucifer led a rebellion in heaven and took one-third of the worshiping angels in heaven with him, if you lost one-third of your praise team this Sunday, if you walked in and one-third of the musicians and one-third of the congregation had left and went and started another church, you would be discouraged. But I think that following day, after one-third of all the worship angels left heaven and God walked in, I don't think it discouraged him to see their empty seats in the choir. Because for the first time in creation, he knew, I have all the angels that choose to worship me. And I'd rather have these that choose to worship me than those who were just created and they do it out of routine and ritual. I choose to worship God today. Under a tent, outside, I worship you, Jesus. I choose to praise him. I choose to lift him up. I choose to worship God. And I want to give you the four faces of worship, because these four faces that he talks about teach us the four seasons of worship. And if you don't know what season you're in, you don't know what kind of face your worship needs to take on. John said, I was caught up in the Spirit. He uses this phrase, I was in the Spirit. He was banished on an island and he said, I was in the Spirit and I got caught up into heaven. Once the Spirit gets in us, we need to learn how to get into the Spirit. Your job as a worship leader is to get people into the Spirit. Your job is to get filled with the Spirit, and that's not enough. Then you need to learn how to get into the Spirit. The Bible said if we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there is a place where you get into the Spirit. You don't just have the Spirit in you, but you have to learn how to get into the Spirit. When problems come, you get into the Spirit. When temptation comes, you get into the Spirit. When you feel like quitting, you have to get into the Spirit. I wait for the Spirit, somebody said. I wait for the Spirit to move me, and then I'll worship God. No, you get into the Spirit. I live in Georgia, in America, part of the time, and we have tornadoes come through. We've had several tornadoes. I've seen tornadoes. I've preached funerals of people in my church who were killed by tornadoes. They're horrific things. And we even have them so often that we will have alarms that will go off to let us know when one is coming. And when a tornado sound warning comes, I have a three-story house. We have basements. Most people in my area have basements for that reason. I don't sit up in my living room and say, I'm waiting on my basement to come get in me. A terrible storm is coming, and I'm just waiting on the basement to get into me. No, I go get into the basement when the storm's coming. You better learn how, when the storm's coming, if you don't have the Spirit getting in you, you learn how to get into the Spirit. And you don't wait on your church and the people sitting out there to get into the Spirit. You get them into the Spirit because you are a worshiper. Does that make sense? So I want you to see the four living creatures. Now notice, first of all, he said, I got caught up into heaven. And he said, I saw four living creatures. Everybody say living creatures. Anything that is alive should be worshiping. And they're around the throne and they're living creatures and they're worshiping. The four faces represent the four seasons that we go through with God. And he said, the first face that I saw that was around the throne worshiping God was the face of a lion. A lion is an awesome animal. It can run 35 miles an hour. It can leap 20 feet. It has canine teeth that can crush your skull and bones. It has a tongue that is like sandpaper that can... One lick can cause you to have raw skin, just tears the flesh off. They have the muscle mass of six strong men in one body. But maybe one of their greatest weapons is the roar. The roar of a lion is very strategic. It's a manipulation technique. A lion will roar and it can be heard for 5 miles away. And the roar is letting everybody else know, I'm here. And you better not come into my territory. If you come into my territory, there's going to be a fight. So don't come into my neighborhood. One of the faces of worship is the face of the lion. And sometimes our praise needs to be strong. Sometimes our praise needs to be brave, and sometimes our praise needs to be loud and victorious. I know some people say, you know, my style's quiet and all that, but we need to take on the face of the lion sometimes. Sometimes what we're going through, we need to let the devil know if he's 5 miles away, if you're even thinking about attacking my family or bothering this church service, we're going to roar so loud right here. I'm taking on the face of the lion, and I'm going to give God brave praise, courageous praise, offensive. It's praise on the offense. It's what Jehoshaphat did when he put the praise team on the front line. He said, we're not going to fight this enemy that's coming against us. Go get the praise team. Now, I've heard some praise teams I wanted to put on the front line. But he said, no, I want you to get them, and I want you to march into the battle singing praise. What are they doing? They're sending out a signal that, hey, the battle's coming to you. If you come into our territory, there's going to be war. We're not a bunch of victims. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Now listen to this. There are times when our problems are so severe, if you don't attack in worship, the problem will attack you in worry. And you have to decide, are you going to let the problems attack you in worry, or are you going to attack them in worship? And when you sense that there's something out there lingering that's trying to come, the greatest thing you can do is take on the face of the lion and send out a signal. I'm going to attack this worry with my worship. I'm not. And if you're worrying right now, it's because you're not worshiping enough. The only reason you're worrying is you're not worshiping. There's no such thing as a cowardly lion. You'll never see a chihuahua chase off a lion. So you got a real lion on the inside of you called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Now the Bible said that Satan is like a roaring lion. He's trying to imitate. He's like one, but you have one on the inside of you. And I know we need to be respectful for all these other people around here, but can we, before I move forward, can we put on the face of the lion? And I don't know what's out there 5 miles from the radius of where we are, but can we let him know that no weapon formed is going to prosper? Lift up a... Come on, lion, roar just a little bit. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You're either going to worry or you're going to worship. Put on the face of the lion. Secondly, he said, I saw an ox. There was a season where it wasn't the aggressive praise on the attack, but now this is the worship of an ox. Well, what is an ox? If you look it up in the dictionary, it says a strong beast, one that is steadfast, very stubborn. And then it says mother-in-law. No, it doesn't say that. No. It says very stubborn. In Job chapter 39, it said, will the wild ox consent to serve? There's something about an ox that's just stubborn. Sometimes your worship, you're in a season where you're going through something. And you need the worship of an ox that just puts your head down and plows through it. I'm going to praise through this. I can't get out of it. I wish I wasn't going through it. But David said, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you get the spirit of the ox that just says, I'm going through this and I'm going to praise my way through. I'm going to praise my way through. The lion is praise on the offense. You roar before you fight anything. You let the enemy know, you better stay out of my territory. But then you need the worship of an ox in other seasons. When just like nothing can bind an ox and nothing can change an ox, they're stubborn. They won't take no for an answer. You have to get that kind of worship that you put your head down and plow on through. Stubborn enough to clap my hands even though I'm not out of the valley yet. Stubborn enough to lift my hands and sing my song, and I'm going through stuff in my own life, but God, I praise you. I've got the face of an ox. I'm trying to calm down. I know I shouldn't be so excited out here, but I'll calm down. Calm down. You ever met someone that's just stubborn? Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. Look right up here. Right up here. Don't point. Don't point. Stubborn means I've got a made-up mind. I'm going to praise. Blind Bartimaeus was a stubborn ox worshiper. They told him, shut up, you're too loud, be quiet. He had problems he couldn't see, but the more that life told him to be quiet, his stubborn spirit said, I'll cry the louder. And he worshiped like an ox, and God healed him. Talk about me if you want to. I'm going to worship like an ox. And then he saw a third kind of worship. He said, I saw a flying eagle, the face of a flying eagle. Not just an eagle, but a flying eagle. It's very important. Sometimes the problems can be held off when you send out the signal and you attack the problem with the face of the lion and you attack it with praise so it doesn't attack you with worry. But then there's other things, times when you're going through a season when you're just going through the valley. And that's when you have to put on the face of the ox and plow on through and praise God in the good times, the bad times, when the sun's shining, when the rain's falling. You plow on through.
when the church is growing, when it's not growing, when exciting things, when the money's up, when the money's low, when you got so many musicians you don't know what to do, and when you got your best friend who just quit and is going to another church, you plow on through that mess. But then there's those times where you need the face of the flying eagle. The flying eagle says this: the problem is real and I can't get through this situation. But God says, I'll give you this kind of worship. It's a flying eagle. When you can't get through it, you can get above it. Yeah. I'm going to give you worship. You ever look back on an episode of your life and said, how did I get through that? And you'd have to admit, I didn't get through it. I got over it. Yeah. Yeah. You may still be going through it, but you can get over it. When you take on the face of a flying eagle. How do you do that? You start worshiping and God just starts elevating you and taking you higher and higher. And it's not denying that there's still an issue there. There's still problems in my family. There's still stuff that breaks my heart. But the stuff I can't get through, I can get over when I take the face of a flying eagle. I'm talking about not being ignorant worshipers. You get up and got to look like a cover girl for the Book of Lamentations because you're going through it and you're supposed to be leading in worship. And no, you put on the face of a flying eagle and say, I may be going through it, but I can get above it. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's praise God just a minute. Lift your hands up and praise Him, somebody. I'm not through it, but I'm over it. There's some stuff I'm not through. It's still there. It ain't going nowhere. Have you ever had things that change everything and it's no quick magic fix? But you can get above it. Through worship. Through worship. Worship that says, if I can't get through it, I'll get over it. But then the last phase is the one that I've been trying to hurry up and get to, and I'm almost done. Because He said, I saw the face of a lion. I saw the face of an ox. I saw the face of the flying eagle. But then I saw the face of a man. Just a human. Just a human being. The man worship is like a human being was allowed to be in the presence of Almighty God. What does that mean? The face of a man. A frail person. Full of mistakes. Full of sin. Full of failure, but I'm still here. I'm in God's presence. I've got struggles. I've got weaknesses. I keep messing up. I keep failing the Lord. But He says, come on in here and worship me. I know what you are. I know you're just a human being. I know this is not being loose on sin. The truth is we're just people. And when I don't feel like a lion, and when I'm not steadfast like an ox, and when I'm not getting over everything like a flying eagle, He says, come on in here, you mere human, with all your frailty and all of your weakness and all your struggle and all your addiction and all of your sin. Come on in here and worship me, and I'll give you victory. Aren't you glad He lets mere humans come in and get around the throne? Psalms put it like this: for He knows our frame and He remembers that we are dust. Just a man. Don't have anything to offer. Shouldn't be allowed. But I'm worshiping with the face of a man, the face of a woman. And I'm a living creature around the throne of God. I don't know what you did last night. I don't know what you did yesterday. And I don't want to go on Facebook and find out. Amen. I don't know and I don't care. All I know is all God's got to work with is just the face of humans. So the next time the enemy tells you you're not holy enough to worship, you're not good enough to worship, you blew it, you almost cussed somebody out in the parking lot, and there you are strumming the guitar, taking the rip on the solo, and the enemy's trying to tell you, you hypocrite, you say, He allows mere faces of humans to worship Him, and He's going to work on me, and I'm going to go apologize to that guy I cussed out after I ripped his solo in Jesus' name. Almost done. Y'all get anything out of this little sermon? If you don't learn how to worship as a man or a woman, you'll never worship as a lion. You'll never worship as an ox. You'll never worship as a flying eagle if you can't worship as a mere human. So don't you let the enemy intimidate you and make you feel unworthy. You get up and you grab those instruments. I don't care what kind of week you've had. You put a smile on your face. And if you're going through it, you take on the face of the ox. And you stand there on behalf of all the people going through the valley and say, we're going to plow on through. And Judah shall plow, the Bible said. You ever read that scripture in Hosea? It said Judah plows. Do you understand that when you worship God, you're plowing the soul? Then the preacher's going to get up and sow the seed. But if the ground's not plowed, Judah plows. You're the plow of the Holy Spirit to rip the heart open, because so that it won't be stony cold and resist the seed. And when we praise God like we ought to, it opens up the heart, and then the seed of the word comes and produces 100-fold. Say, Judah shall plow. And some of you need to get up when you're on top of the world. Everything's going right. Everything's being blessed. You need to take the face of the lion. Say, I'm going to tear the devil's playhouse up. I'm going to get up and worship today. And I'm going to roar so much with this praise that if there's a devil 5 miles around here, he's going to be afraid to come into this place. And then there's others of you that'll be in seasons where you can't get through it. Something has happened that has changed everything, but you can get over it. You take on the flying eagle. But then there's going to be times when you're the weak link, so you think. I'm just the human. They don't know that I haven't been all I could have been this week. But God says, hey, bring me the face of a human. Come in here with honesty and openness and worship me. And I'll give you just as much access as the lion and the eagle and the ox. Because you're mine. Can we just lift our hands right where we are and say, God, here's my talent again. Here's my gift again. Here's my voice again. Here's my fingers again. Here's my hands again. Here's my heart again, most importantly. I'm not going to be an ignorant worshiper. I don't just want the emotion of worship. I want the education of worship. And I know who I worship, why I worship, and when I worship. In every season of life, I'll have the faces of worship on my life. And on my team. If you receive it, say yes. Yes. Say, I'm going to be the best plower. Yes. Say, by the time pastor gets up to preach, come on, say it. The ground's going to be split open, and the seed is going to find good ground. Can we give the Lord a big praise? I'm done. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you.
Amazing. Thank you, Pastor Jensen. Can we give him another round of applause? Thank you so much. We so appreciate you taking the time to impart into us, and we know that New Zealand's going to be richer for you having given that word today. So we really appreciate it, and thank you for being here. Awesome. So I just want to make a couple of announcements, a reminder.